Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest State Representative Anthony Giarrusso, a Republican from East Greenwich. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Good morning, everyone. And don't forget, I also represent the good people of West Greenwich.
The General Assembly is starting to raise its focus on Governor Gina Raimondo's budget proposal. The spending plan has attracted both praise and criticism. Representative Giarrusso, you're one of the relatively few Republicans in the House. Give us your assessment of what you think is good and bad in the governor's budget.
Obviously, we have a lot to do. I mean, we have to move mountains and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So I give them credit for trying, but I'm not crazy about the ways that they're talking about raising some other revenues. Specifically, I know it may not seem like a big deal in a grand scheme of things, but this second home tax or what they've been labeled it the Taylor Swift tax, which some people may
and it
like.
Seems like Speaker Mattiello wants that to be deleted from the budget. But what about other aspects of the budget? Do you think the budget does enough or is appropriately focused to try and spark Rhode Island's economy?
Well, I didn't see all the minutiae of the budget. How much of it is tested? You know, how much is it just are we throwing money at the wall to see what sticks? Because we don't really have that kind of time. It's not a luxury we have right now. And I asked that question when we were hearing one of the articles in the House Finance. We're proposing all these expenditures for commerce and things like that, but has it been tested? If it was a business, you wouldn't be saying, well, let's try this, let's try that. You really have to make sure that you're putting a lot of effort in a lot, you know, with the money that you're spending on these programs.
Well, let's get Maureen in here. Maureen, what do you think? Do you think Governor Raimondo's budget initiatives will have the effect that she is hoping for of sparking the economy?
I think there's potential to do that. I think generally the budget has been well received. I think she's made an effort, a good effort for a Democrat, particularly, to have these kinds of incentives and see if they work. They don't seem to be outlandish. We have to remember that the money that's going to come in, there's a revenue estimate coming in, and the money's expect to be better. So generally speaking, I think the budget has been well received, not only in terms of the business community, but also in terms of working class people.
Scott, what is your view on what is likely to change with Governor Raimondo's budget before it's approved by the legislature?
What's going to change? They're going to pare back the Medicaid cuts, certainly. The hospital industry, the nursing home industry are going to get some of that money back. They're very, very strong lobbyists. I do think the Taylor Swift tax is history. It's not going to happen. I also think the $22 million in projected savings in state employees is not going to happen. Revenues will be up. I think we have to get away in Rhode Island and nationally from this belief that somehow government creates jobs, that the economy's getting better with the budget that Governor Chafee and the legislature crafted. The private economy creates jobs. What government needs to do is set the table so that the private economy can generate jobs and not do stupid things like the crony capitalism 38 studios.
Well, speaking of economic issues, Governor Raimondo says she's unsure if a deal on the Paul Sox proposal and their move to Providence will be made in this legislative session. The Paul Sox say they remain in talks with the governor and legislative leaders on a way to keep the team in Rhode Island. A Paul Sox spokeswoman says it's not yet known when the team will unveil a new approach. Representative Giarrusso, what is your thinking? Are you a supporter or an opponent of what we've heard so far from the Paul Sox on their plan to move to Providence?
I couldn't be a stronger opponent. Even before I got involved in politics, it just disturbed me that billionaires are always looking to get financing from taxpayers. I mean, we see it in professional, in major league sports throughout the country. And I love the precedent that Boston set when the Red Sox were thinking of rebuilding Fenway Park. And they challenged them. They said, we're not going to help you. If you really need to do it, then you can move, knowing full well that there's no way that the Red Sox were going to leave Boston. This is no different. I definitely, if it's a great idea, then there's a lot of investors that have a lot of money that would love to put their money into good investments, do it that way, leave the taxpayers alone.
And yet, Scott, we know that most minor league AAA ballparks do have some level of public involvement. And do you think Governor Raimondo would really be willing to let the Paw Sox walk away to Massachusetts?
No, I don't think she's already said she doesn't want that to happen, first of all. Secondly, I think this would be fabulous if the price is right. And if you can find a way to make Providence whole, Providence does not need another long-term tax treaty where they're not getting any tax money to cover the cost of security, police, fire. So I think they should look at something like Hartford's talking about, a 10% surcharge on the tickets so that the users of the ballpark, the people who buy the tickets, are actually subsidizing the city and making a contribution to help the city offset the cost of that.
Do you think the price will be right, Maureen?
I think the price price ultimately will be right. I think basically this is a done deal. I think there's a dance going on, and I think ultimately they'll come to some sort of agreement. But I share the representative's concern in the sense that when you talk about the city of Providence and when you talk about a 30-year tax forgiveness, when two administrations now, we've been going after Brown, we've been going after Precy, we've been going after Johnson and Wales. So are you telling me that we are going to give a baseball consortium a pass while we're continuing to squeeze these institutions of higher learning in the hospitals that we know generate revenue? I think they got to fix that. And I think that's a critical element of this deal.
Well, speaking of state revenue, the ownership of Twin River this week held the first in a series of informational hearings on a proposed casino in Tiverton. At the same time, advocates are renewing a push to try and legalize marijuana. But the inside word from the State House is that this is not going to happen this year. Representative, do you think it's inconsistent that on one hand, the state relies so much on gambling revenue and yet looks like it's going to say no to another potential source of revenue through marijuana?
You're asking the wrong guy this question, because I've never supported any casino at any level. I think it's a really bad, we're kind of addicted to the revenues. Look at all the negatives that come from that. You know, people that are there spending their kids' lunch money when it used to be a destination place that if you had the money was the only reason you were there. And now you go there and you see people that just got out of their jobs and they're gambling their money away. I don't like the idea of that. And plus, Ian, look at what's happening across the board. Look at every casino in the whole, probably in the world. I was just reading an article this weekend that even Macau is struggling. And Macau is like the Vegas of in Asia. I mean, right off the coast of Hong Kong. So it's a worldwide problem. And why do we want to double down into that kind of environment? I don't support that. And I definitely don't support marijuana. I think it's too easy. It's too easy to say there's revenues there. What else are we creating? Are we creating an environment that we're just telling everybody that it's okay? You know, go smoke pot. I don't know enough about it. I know there's medicinal situations. You know, you can go out and have a couple beers with your friends after you're playing golf, but your goal is not to get drunk. But can anybody say that they smoke pot to not get high? I don't know.
Maureen, how about the rep's point that we see casinos in Atlantic City and elsewhere going out of business? The state would certainly have a very difficult time replacing the revenue in the short term, but is this ultimately a losing place for the state to look for money?
Actually, I don't think so. I think what's happening with gambling is that the modes of operation are changing. I mean, they're opening four casinos in Massachusetts. They're opening two more in Connecticut. Somebody knows something about the gambling market. I just think it's going to be smaller venues. Whether you're opposed to it or not, it's here. And we have to do what we can to garner as enough revenue that we can. And I think it's also linked to marijuana in the sense that while I don't think this is going to go this year, I think state leaders see this, for better or for worse, as another source of revenue to make up for the inevitable losses that they're going to suffer when the other casinos go into Connecticut and when the casinos come online in Massachusetts. There's a moral question there, but I think in terms of finances, we're beyond that.
And the last word here to Scott.
Well, I don't like gambling. I think it's a horrible way for the state to raise money. And as Lincoln Allman said, the governor in the 1990s, once you let this camel's nose under the tent, there's nothing you can do to stop them. And now, again, as the representative alluded to, we're addicted to the gambling stream. So I think in the short term, we're going to have to build this casino just to offset what Massachusetts is going to do. And as far as marijuana goes, we're going to be forced at some point to deal with this issue, particularly if Massachusetts legalizes marijuana, as it looks like they're going to do by referendum at next year's election.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Anthony Chiaruso, Republican, who lives in East Greenwich.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.